Thank you, Lord God. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. What does that mean? It means that our spirits, carry on, thank you. It means that our human spirits become like the window of God into our hearts. And I just believe that what the Lord wants to do this morning is he wants to shine a light into every single one of our hearts. He wants to shine a light into the inner depths, the places that somewhere are hidden or locked away. So right now, I just want to encourage you. Put your hand on your heart and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, you are so faithful. Father, I thank you for your desire for our wholeness, for our freedom, that each one of us may live that abundant life that you've called us to. And I pray, Lord God, Father, that you would shine the light of your spirit into our hearts. Father, shine your light into those depths within us where we have been affected, where we've been wounded, touched, hindered in any way. And Lord God, do what only you can do. Father, set every one of us free to fulfill every ounce of potential that you've given us. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Thank you. Thank you, Janita. Praise God. Praise God. I want to read today. You know, it was funny when God started to speak to me about the message he wanted me to share today. I really tussled. I had a tussle with the Lord because I felt like saying to him, Lord, this isn't a Sunday message. You know, there's certain things we think, oh, that's what happens on a Sunday. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's Sunday. You know, and I felt, you know, I was like, God, this isn't a Sunday message. And you know what the Lord dropped into my heart? Well, what you're going to speak on happens on Sundays. So you better deal with it on a Sunday. Amen. Praise God. I want to read from Samuel, the second book of Samuel. And it's chapter 20. And I'm just going to read the first two verses of 2 Samuel 20. And it says, and there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Bishri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba. You know, this incident in the life of King David happened very, very soon after he'd gone through this really hurtful experience with one of his own sons. How many of you know the story of Absalom? Right. You know, his own son, yes, he made mistakes. You know, I mean, I think one of the things we see when we read the word is we see dysfunctional family in black and white on the pages of the Bible. Are you hearing me? You know, and thank God for the way that the Lord will train us about, you know, husbands, how they should treat their wives, and wives, how to, you know, how to be a wife, you know, and how to raise children and how to make them feel secure and loved and accepted. You know what I mean? You know, and David, I'm sure, made mistakes. But, you know, making mistakes only makes us human. And all the people who've never made a mistake shout, I'm here. It's true, isn't it? We make mistakes. And as a result of the upbringing that Absalom had had and just things that had gone on in the home, and I'm not going to go into that, he led this really, really horrible betrayal against his father. And as a result of what Absalom did, winning over in a really manipulative way the hearts of the people, you know, he broke his dad's heart. And God reached David, you know, and had a rescue plan. Say rescue plan. You know, whatever you go through, if you look to the Lord, he has your rescue plan mapped out already. Hallelujah. And God had a rescue plan for David. And so, you know, things, they just managed to steady the ship. And there we were, they were, and all was well again. And then suddenly, this guy, I mean, out of the blue, we don't even really know about him much before this, but suddenly, this man just shouts out and says, come on, you all follow me. And it actually says, you know, he said, we have no share in David. Every man to his tents, and it says that every man of Israel deserted David. You know, betrayal is one of the most painful and difficult experiences that we can go through. It really is. And we're going to look at betrayal this morning. And we're going to understand it because, let me tell you one thing. You know, the Bible says, just as sparks fly upwards, we're going to encounter trouble. Did you know that? So just being here on planet Earth, because heaven's different. Hallelujah. But just being here means you're going to encounter trouble. I'm going to encounter trouble. So we need to know how to handle it. Say amen. Amen. And not only that, but the Bible actually promises that we're going to encounter betrayal. And it's quite a unique, painful experience to go through. And I'm going to explain why in a moment. But the Bible says in Mark 3:13, verse 12, it says, brother will betray brother. And it goes on to say, father, his child, and children will rise up against children. In other words, you know, at some point in our lives, we are going to encounter somebody that we completely trusted, letting us down and betraying us. And there's some effects that betrayal has in our hearts and lives that is a bit different to other experiences that we go through. You know, the Bible definition of betrayal, as it is in the Hebrew, speaks of, let me find that definition if I've written it down. Yeah, it's there's a Hebrew word, ramah, and it means to hurl, to shoot, to deceive, to cause, to fall. And essentially what betrayal is it's broken trust. It's when trust is broken. Can I just borrow Godfrey, Sarah, if you just put your bits down. You see, trust is something really, really important. Trust is something that we need in order to function in our lives. It's something that we must develop in our hearts. We need to trust God, but we've also got to learn, as a result of our trust for God, to trust people. And you see, you know, in school, primary school, I think every primary school did this, but they explain what trust is by doing this. So Godfrey, you're going to catch Sarah, okay? Sarah, you're going to turn around, shut your eyes. You know, so this is trust, essentially. Fall back, Sarah. Right. That's trust. Now, we won't show what betrayal is. You see, please sit down. And Sarah said, amen. You see, betrayal is broken trust, and it describes it as causing one to fall. So betrayal is when the very person who I've trusted to catch me suddenly just steps back and says, you're on your own. I haven't got you back anymore. You know, and we crash to the ground, and the enemy has a purpose out of betrayal. And this is what I want us to really understand today. Because you see, we can go through experiences of betrayal which break our trust. And as a result, we literally say in our hearts, never again. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, if Sarah had fallen and crashed to the ground, I mean, is she going to let Godfrey catch her again? You know, and this is what happens. And, you know, I started by reading this passage about David. And he had gone through just this awful experience with his son Absalom. And then suddenly, what might have been just a matter of days or weeks later, someone else is saying, let's desert this man. You know, and there are things we go through in life. And that sense of betrayal is such an awful human emotion to experience. That sense of somebody that we truly, truly trusted, just not being there for us, not having our back. And it breaks that sense of trust. But you see, the problem is that faith is born in an atmosphere of trust. I will only have faith where I can trust. Can you hear me? Why do I have faith in God? I have faith in God because I trust him. Trust is my ongoing heart attitude towards God that enables me to have faith in him for the specific things that I know that he wants to do in my life. But you see, our journey with God is a two-way street. So he has a plan and a purpose for me. Yeah? He'll say, you know, Joe, I've got a husband for you. Amen. I had the funniest cheese dream last night. Cheese dream is when it's not God. I dreamt that I wanted to marry Paolo. In my dream, I'm like, oh, I so want to marry that man. I hope he asks me. And then I woke up and went, do you know what? That's like 20 years ago. But, you know, say I wanted to be married. And I knew God wanted to give me a husband. You see, it's my trust in God that enables me to apply my faith to laying hold of that promise that he has for me. So we have to trust to be able to really have faith. Are you following me? And so the devil's after our trust. Because you see, often we'll say, oh, well, I trust God, I just don't trust you. But if I trust God, then I'm able to trust you. Are you hearing? Because I am relying on God. I'm leaning on him. I'm believing in his ability to sustain me. So as a result, out of the overflow of that, I'm able to trust my brother. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, the enemy is always looking for ways to limit and to put boundaries around what we can accomplish and achieve. He wants to put a border around your life and put big walls around that say, beyond here and no further. So we get let down. We get betrayed. And as I said, you know, the Bible promises. You know, if you have a brother, whether it's natural or spiritual, if you have a father, whether natural or spiritual, and children, whether natural or spiritual, then we're subject to betrayal. Are you hearing me? And so we've got to work out how we can come out the other side of betrayal. How we can come out of that, you know, and that doesn't create a boundary around our lives. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But let me tell you what the enemy tries to do. He tries to cause a wound so deep in our hearts as a result of betrayal that instead we say, do you know what? I'm not trusting anyone anymore. You know, maybe you shared something really personal with a brother or sister. You bore your heart and the next thing you hear, it's been gossiped in church. And you say, never again, I'm shutting my mouth. You see, the enemy is looking to find ways to make you shut your trap, to make you not share, because he knows that when we do share with the right people and we do get the support we need, then we can move on. But what he wants to do is cause an isolation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, so often, there are times when leaders have betrayed trust. You know, and again, no one's perfect. You know, and we can get so broken and hurt by that betrayal, especially when it's somebody in a position of authority, somebody that we really should be trusting, that we, you know, we may even move on 10, 15 years later and we've made a decision in our hearts. Do you know what? I live a private life now. You know, I keep the walls around my heart very well protected. Not only have I got walls there, but I've appointed, you know, soldiers on top of the walls with bows and arrows. And if anyone tries to come anywhere near my heart, oh boy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, and this is so what it's like. And this is what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to stop us from being able to trust again. You know, it's like I was sharing yesterday in Life Changers in our Bible Academy. You see, every single Bible hero in this book, every one of them was forced into a place of transparency. Are you hearing me? I mean, you find the Bible heroes whose dirty laundry wasn't hung out there. And why is it hung up? So that you and I can gain courage. So that you and I can know, do you know what? David messed up, but God was able to use him again. Do you know what? You know, we can look at the people who've fallen flat on their faces and we can see them rise again and say, Lord, because of them, I know that I can believe you for my second chance. Are you hearing me? But yet we get betrayed and so we say, never again, I'm shutting down. You know, I honestly believe truth and transparency is a kingdom value. Because we see it in the Bible. You know, and the Bible says there is one who isolates himself. But the Bible goes on to say that it's to its own detriment. You know, and when we make those decisions, that's it. I'm shutting up, I'm shutting down, and I'm keeping the world out. Then we limit our progress. We limit what God's able to do in us and through us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And God's saying he wants to give us that roadmap out of betrayal. He wants to show us how to be able to endure it and yet come out the other side, unmarked by Satan. You see, it's like I talk about this in terms of other things that we go through, but betrayal isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. The worst thing that can happen is that you change the way you are as a result of betrayal. Because then what we're doing is we're allowing the enemy to win. You know, do you remember where it says in Scripture, do not let sin reign? So someone may sin against you. But the way we let that sin reign is if that marks the way we are from now on. And we allow ourselves to continue living that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I remember something that I went through. You know, and it wasn't really about me. It's amazing how we can feel betrayed by all sorts of different things. Sometimes it's actually what someone else does that isn't really aimed at hurting us, but it can end up breaking our hearts. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I remember some years back, one of our leaders got themselves into a really unpleasant situation and messed up big time. And, you know, the reason I felt betrayed by it is I'd sat with this person before it all came to the surface and I'd said, are you telling me the truth? You know, we like truth. We don't always want to give truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to give truth as well as want it. You know, but I'd sat with this leader and you know, one issue had already come to the surface and it was to do with immorality. And one issue had come to the surface and I'd sat with him and I'd said, are you telling me the truth that there is nothing else that I'm going to discover? So literally, we'd had a conversation, eye to eye, whites of eyes, looking at each other. And he said, this is it. There's nothing else. You're not going to have any other. You know, no, nothing else is going to come out. And then you see our God who loves us so much and always wants the truth to be out so that we can be free, made sure that the issues that were still going on in this man's life were exposed for his sake, because God wanted to set him free completely from what was going on. And I remember the day when I got a call from my husband and I was at work. And I went out into the corridor to take this call because my husband doesn't, you know, wouldn't call me at work because obviously he wouldn't interrupt me. And so I'd gone out into the corridor and just heard the extent of just the immoral mess that this person had got themselves into. And I sat on the stairs in our workplace and I just sobbed. I just sat and cried my eyes out. And I was just sitting there saying, but Lord, you know, we've just poured everything that we've got into this man's life. We've given everything. There's nothing left to give in terms of love. And in terms of really believing in him and being there and seeing a level of restoration in his life. And I just broke and wept. And, you know, we dealt with it as you have to in leadership. It's never just, you know, an issue. And that's why you need to pray for your leaders. Pray for us. You know, when you mess up, you get hurt and the people closest to you. When, you know, if I mess up, lots more people can get hurt. And as God raises us up more and more and we have more influence across the world, more and more people can get hurt if we mess up. So please pray. You know, as leaders, we need your prayers. Amen. You know, and so there I was, you know, just gutted and broken. But something on the inside of me said, that's it. You know what? I'm not trusting that one again. And, you know, he was gone for a while. He had to be gone for a while. And those of you that know who I'm talking about, I want you to be receiving for you, not thinking about the story you remember from those years gone by. You know, and I got his permission to share this. And he said, I'm free. Amen. And, you know, but I'd in my heart said, that's it. And I was determined that I would not allow this person to hurt anyone else again. I was so hurt by the people I saw hurt by the actions as well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I'd said, that's it. Enough's enough. You're outside the circle of trust. Do you remember that movie? Oh dear, sorry, I love movies. You're outside the circle of trust and you don't come back in. But you see, there's a problem with that. I don't know who's betrayed you. I don't know whether it's a brother who just would not stand by you when you went through that really tough time in your life and they just backed off, they just rejected you, they weren't there. Whether it was a leader, you know, a church that you've been at, maybe even us, who knows? You know, I don't know what kind of betrayal you've gone through. Maybe in marriage, you know, there are betrayals in relationships that can cause some of the greatest pain. You know, or whether it's betrayal from family members who just weren't there, just didn't believe in you when what you needed was for somebody to continue believing. But let me tell you, the answer is never, I am creating this circle of trust and you're outside of it. And let me tell you why it isn't. You see, this is the thing. You can forgive. And what happens with forgiveness? You see, with forgiveness, we forgive somebody, we let them go, we say, it's all right, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. I bless you, I pray that God will bless you, but you're not coming back inside the circle of trust. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Am I telling the truth? Yes. You see, and I want to look at a man who managed to forgive and trust again. Forgive and trust again in Scripture. You see, in fact, before I do that, you see, forgiveness is so important. We've got to forgive. We've got to let people off. You know, that's what forgiving is. It's basically saying, I let you off for the wrong you did against me. I won't hold it against you anymore, and I want God to bless you. That's forgiveness. But you see, what does the Bible say? That love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. And what does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7? In fact, if we can have it up there, Gifty, in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7, you see it talks about what love does. You see, love doesn't have this circle. Love doesn't say you're excluded now because love, that, yeah, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Listen, that doesn't say that love is ever ready to believe the best of those that have been good to us. Are you hearing me? You see, love is ever ready to believe the best. And I reached a point where I was like, God, you'll have to speak to me audibly for me to trust that one again. I mean, I need to hear heaven speak. I want to see the whirlwind that what's his name got to see? Which prophet? Elijah, thank you. I want the whirlwind, I want the earthquake, I want the fire. If I'm going to trust that one again, I mean, if I am going to allow... Hard heart. Are you hearing me? You see, where's love in that? Where's mercy in that? Where's genuinely believing that God is the God who's able to wipe away every single wrongdoing in that? And God had to deal with my heart. You see, I was the one in the wrong because I'd allowed my own sense of betrayal to shut me down. And I remember the day when God was speaking to me and saying, Joe, you know what? You've got to let this thing completely go. And I remember the day I went to him a long time later. And I just went up and I just said, I want you to know that as your spiritual mom, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I was saying, do you know what? It's over. I'm not going to allow betrayal to mark me so that I mark you. You know, so often when we allow the marks of betrayal to shape the way we act, we're also, you know, we're holding that person in punishment. Does God do that? You see, we serve this God of mercy, this God of love, who says no matter what goes on, I'm ready to wipe the slate clean again. You see, Joseph, I just love that man. I love that man. And speaking in Genesis 49 of Joseph, we see such an amazing description of this man. It says, Genesis 49 verse 22. In fact, I'd love that in the Amplified as well. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Ha, ha, ha. Do you want to know how to be fruitful? Wave at me if you're saying, I want to be fruitful. We can't be holding anything in our heart if we want to be fruitful. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well, spring, or fountain whose branches run over the wall. Verse 23, and we're going to go to 24. Skilled archers have bitterly attacked and sorely worried him, and they've shot at him and persecuted him. You know, that Hebrew definition of betrayal talks specifically about being shot at. That it's like somebody shooting at you. It's like a punch in the guts. You know, and it says, back to 23, that's what Joseph went through. And we know the story. The brothers who he was full of himself, Joseph, when he was a young man, wasn't he? You know, and he really wasn't aware of how his father's love and his attitudes, he really wasn't aware of the impact all of that was having on his brothers. He was totally unaware. You know, but even if he was in any way contributing to the pain that they felt in their hearts, seeing their dad love him more than any of them, he certainly did not deserve what he went through. And there he was, literally betrayed to the very core. His brothers kicked him in a pit. His brothers sold him, pretended he was a slave. I mean, deception. In betrayal, there's this sense of lies and just not being straight and not being honest. It's nearly always involved in betrayal. And this is what he went through. But if we see verse 24, it says, but his bow remained strong and steady and rested in the strength that does not fail him. For the arms of his hands were made strong and active by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. You see, we know that Joseph made a decision to trust his brothers again. Are you hearing me? Joseph said, you know what? I am going to, you know, yes, he had his own little way of testing whether these guys were trustworthy again. But once he, you know, once in his heart, he'd seen that change. He was ready to jump straight back in and trust these men that had nearly destroyed him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I'm not suggesting, you know, that if you've been beaten to an inch within your life by someone, that you go back to them. That's to do with wisdom. You understand? Say wisdom. You know, if someone had beaten me up and I was, you know, I'm not going to go back and say, do it again, I trust you. You understand? You know, we're not talking about those situations. But I believe that the Lord is wanting to minister to us today. Some of you, you've been betrayed by leaders. I sense that so strongly. You know, you've had trust broken. You've had people who've misunderstood you. And it just caused something in your heart where something died on the inside and you just said, you know what, vroom, not again. Others in relationships. You know, there's another movie, and I can't remember the exact context, but I remember a scene from it. But where, you know, a woman finds out that her husband has messed around. And the line that she says is something like, well, life was just never quite as good again. You see, we not only can forgive, but we can reach a point where we know, do you know what? God, you trust me even though I'm not trustworthy. God, you believe in me even though I know I'm going to fail yet again and again and again and again. And so we can say, do you know what? I'm not going to allow any level of betrayal to mark the way that I behave. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's about not letting the things that have happened to us change the way we behave. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to cause the trials and tribulations and pains and distresses of life. He wants us to react to those and then just rethink the way we live. You know what God wants? You know, I mean, I even think about David and the betrayal he went through with Absalom. You know, who knows whether he was thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe he realized, gosh, maybe I got it wrong with that boy. You know, all these years, he was actually in Jerusalem and I wouldn't see his face. You know, Absalom already had been punished, or he'd gone through the effects of what he'd done. And if you don't know the story, you can go read it. But then he was brought to Jerusalem. David would not allow that young man to see his face. And sometimes I think what we do is we say, well, do you know what? I shouldn't have allowed that to happen. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have exposed myself. And so we end up saying, well, do you know what? Instead, I'm just not going to trust anymore. Because somehow we think that we were involved in the betrayal that then happened. And so again, we're amending, we're changing the way we live, the way we respond to others, as a reaction to betrayal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, God is saying that he wants us to be led by his Spirit. He wants us to be those that when God says love, we say yes, Lord. He wants us to be those that when God says have your heart completely clear and clean towards that one, that we say yes, Lord. You know, he wants to enable us to trust those who've hurt us, not because we're trusting in them, but because we're trusting God. Now, you know, like I said earlier, there's a wisdom in all of this, but I'm not talking about those places where our lives are in danger or where, you know, we're putting ourselves in a really precarious position. But I really believe by the Spirit of God that he's saying in this place, look, my son, my daughter, love believes the best. It's time to believe the best. You know, David was an amazing man, and I believe one of the reasons that he was able to keep his heart soft through so much betrayal is he knew how to connect with God. He knew how to pour out his heart like water before the face of the Lord. You know, it says, there's several Psalms that he's written where he talks about how he does it. You know, he said, you have relieved me in my distress. You know, David kept his heart soft towards Saul, King Saul. That man was harassing him and hounding him, wanted to kill him. But David kept his heart soft towards that man. You know, and he said, you have relieved me in my distress. You know, the sad thing about it all is what we do is we say, I'm not trusting anyone else anymore. Or I'm not going to trust that type of person. Or this type over here, or that type over there. You know, but what we so often do is we trust ourselves. Isn't it right? We're saying, so I'm going to go my way now. You know, but the sad thing about that is the Bible says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Is a fool. You know, if I'm going to trust my way of doing it, I'm probably going to fall flat on my face. That's Proverbs 28, verse 26. I just believe that what God wants to do today is he wants to shine his light into your heart. And he wants to bring to your remembrance those experiences of betrayal that you have gone through, because he wants to bring healing. You know, really and truthfully, God doesn't want us to be changed in any adverse way by anything that we go through. Now think about that. There's nothing you've gone through that you need to be changed by adversely. In fact, God's heart for you is that everything that you go through gives you a bigger heart towards others, more love for others, because you get healed, you get restored, you allow God to do that work within, so that out of it, you're not a smaller person, you're not a mean-minded person, you're not someone that says, I've just got to shut the world out. But you end up being someone who says, I've been there. And I've come out the other side. And so, Lord, use me to help anyone else who's encountered the same situations. That's God's heart and his desire for you, for me, for every single one of us. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it says in the Word, it says on the very night that Jesus was betrayed, he literally, I mean, that's it says on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. What was the bread representing? It was representing his giving up of himself. It was the ultimate act of trust. On the very night that Jesus was betrayed, he then stepped towards his greatest act of trust that he'd ever, ever walked into. You know, and I believe that God is wanting to raise up in this place a people who are willing to say, Lord, you know, I'm willing to have a transparency about me so that others can be set free. I'm willing to let you do that work within me so that I can be a picture of love. So that I can be one who walks in love towards others. You know, the amazing thing about that leader that I spoke about is honestly and truthfully, you know, and it's funny the way love works, because it's not that you have favorites, it's that you can end up with a deep love that is just inexplicable. Do you know that leader? I have such a deep well of love. I mean, more than makes any sense. I have a love. I really would do anything for that person. I love him to the core. And I wish the very, very, very best for him. And I want to tell you that the depths of love that God gave me as a result of just saying, God, I'm sorry, I wouldn't change that for anything. I love loving that person. And I believe that the Lord is saying to you today that there's people that you've just basically shut the door of your heart to. And he's saying, when you open that door back up and trust me, it's not human beings that we put our trust in, because human beings will fail. But we're willing to trust them because we trust our Father in heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is going to open up areas of your heart. He's going to pour so much love within. The Bible says that he pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you see how much of our heart he has access to pour out that amazing love is dependent on how many doors that we'll open up to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I believe that God is about to pour out his love into your heart today in a way like you've never experienced it. But it's saying, I am no longer going to allow any hardness of heart. It's saying that I'm willing to trust again. I'm willing to believe the best. And it's also reaching that point of saying, you know, Lord, I'm sorry I've held that. But I'm very mindful that, you know, as I'm ministering today, there are those and the betrayals you've gone through, you haven't even yet been healed. And God is going to heal your heart as you open it up to him again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence here to bring healing. For your presence here to bring restoration. And Lord, some of the things that your sons and your daughters have gone through, and they've endured through it, others would have been destroyed by it. And the very fact that you're here today, some of you, is testament to your love, is testament to your mercy. And Father, for every person who has been wounded by betrayal, just everyone's got their eyes shut anyway. If that's you, you've been wounded by betrayal, just lift your hands a little higher. Just lift your hands a little higher. There's a wounding still, and you've seen how it's changed the way you behave. It's changed the way you look at certain people. It's caused you to shut doors and to push certain people out. Right now, Lord God, I ask for your healing. For your healing love to just flood into the hearts of your people. Lord, you see the pain that they went through. You see the experiences, the dishonor for some. Things that happened that weren't just a betrayal, but also caused great dishonor in your heart. And the Lord is here with his healing love to bring restoration to you. And some of you, you're in this place and, you know, you might say there's no wounds left, but you know that as a result of the things you've gone through, you have amended your behavior. You've changed the way you look at people. You know, no matter what I do, God doesn't change the way he looks at me. He still looks at me with such love. And right now, the Lord is saying to you, open your heart up wide. Open your heart up wide. And if that's you, you're conscious that you've changed your behavior, you just lift your hands up higher and I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, for every person in this place, Lord God, who has been wounded, who's been damaged, who's been hurt by betrayal, and as a result, Lord God, has lived life differently. Father, I pray this day, Lord God, that you would just pour out your healing. Father, open each one's eyes to another way, to a better way. Knowing, Lord God, that you are the ultimate mercy shower. You are the one who constantly shows mercy and kindness. And the one who always believes the best. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would just touch every heart in this place. Lord God, I thank you that we deal with betrayal by pouring out our hearts before you. We deal with betraying by telling you how hurt we were and receiving your healing. But then, Lord God, saying, Lord, I choose to trust because I trust you. You know, and some of the people that I meet around the world who have been betrayed again and again have some of the softest hearts I've ever seen. Because their trust is in God, and so they can trust people, knowing that God is constantly protecting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would minister deep down into each one of our hearts. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here today and you know, God has been stirring something very strong and you're feeling you need to respond further, I just feel a prompting of the Spirit and you're just, you know, God is stirring something, then just as we're finishing, you can still just come to the front. If you're just saying, do you know what, this has just brought stuff to the surface and I want further prayer, then I'm going to ask some of my team just to come forward, and you can come just as the service is finishing and receive prayer. Thank you, Jesus. But if you just all lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord right now. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I speak your blessing over every single one of your children. Father, I thank you that you are the healer, you are the restorer. You are the one, Lord God, that gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. You are the one that turns around everything in our hearts and lives. Father, I thank you that you are the one, Lord God, who works all things together for our good. When we surrender every area of our hearts and lives to you. So, Father, I speak your great blessing over each person, and I thank you that we are work in progress on a journey towards that wholeness from which we can fulfill our destiny. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name.